Well, we can just...
Alright, so I'm just going to cue.
That's fine, I'll just look at it.
The Toronto Comic Arts Festival would like to acknowledge the land on which we gather. It's the traditional territory of the Inishawaki, Sugis and the New Credit First Nation, the Haudenosaunee, and the Huron-Wendat, and that Indigenous peoples have lived on and cared for this land for more than 15,000 years. This territory is covered by the Dishapon Spoon Wampum Belt Treaty. Today, Toronto is still the home to many Indigenous people from across Turtle Island. We acknowledge that settlers on the land directly benefit from the process of colonisation. In recognition of our gathering on these lands for TICAB 2018, the festival has made a donation to the Native Child and Family Services of Toronto. We look forward to increasing our support and programs for Indigenous creators in the years to come. Programming at TICAB is sponsored by the Seneca College's Faculty of Communication, Art and Design. TICAB would also like to thank our presenting sponsors, the Beguiling, Little Island Comics and Toronto Public Library. Thanks to our media sponsor, Now Magazine. We also recognise the support of the Canada Council for the Arts, the Ontario Arts Council and the Toronto Arts Council. Hi.
Hello.
I'm Alary Harris. I am the deputy editor of The Nib, which, for those of you who don't know, is a comics website dedicated to political cartoons and non-fiction comics. We recently rejected a fine Emily Flake comic almost entirely about erections, so you know we have some work to do in fully embracing all aspects of masculinity. Men have a long history in comics, both as readers and creators. Sorry, that was characters. Readers and characters. We're here to talk about the contributions that they've made to the medium and how that has impacted the work of non-male identifying creators. On this panel today, we have Caitlin Major. Who's a debut graphic novel, Manfred the Man, drawn by Kelly Bastow, launched it this week here in Toronto. I think the title of this book clearly denotes Caitlin's qualifications to be on this panel. Also joining us is Yasmin Omar Atta, whose 2017 book, which I'm going to mispronounce, Mishapichara, from their webcomic of the same name, centres around a male character named Isaac, who's actually a conduit for Yasmin's own feelings and experiences. We also have Sheikha Luptu, immigrant Filipina artist, researcher, organiser, educator from Chicago, who is taking down the patriarchy with leg draws, one extremely good dick drawing at a time. And we also have cartoonist and illustrator Sanya Anmar, whose comic 1001 involves a woman writing about a man. So the first question to the panel, the most obvious question, who is your favourite male comic book character?
There's just so many to choose from. All of the men, like Spider-Man and Batman
and
Banana Man.
Iron Man.
How does one choose?
Man-Man.
Hello, let me talk to you about Buff Jar Jar. I don't know if you guys can see it in the back, but it's Jar Jar crying a single lone tear, buff, shoulders wide. I love him. He's my favorite boy.
Yes, all of them really are so fantastic. It's hard to choose one, but I mean, somehow we'll find a way today, I think.
I'm going to go ahead and just say none of the above.
Okay, well.
So I can't even just your... make a like a male version of Lady Hulk. Then I think that would be good.
Do we really need another male version of Lady Hulk? I mean, I think I see so many other versions.
Shaped your work.
Well, I mean, as I was
was growing up, I didn't really know any boys or men who read comics. And I also didn't read any comics that were written by men. Like, in all seriousness, like, I literally only read manga that was written by women. So, like, it wasn't until I was, like, much older and I started reading, like, web comics that I first started reading comics written by men. And so that was an interesting experience, yeah.
What was your takeaway from that, Caitlin?
Men have a lot of opinions.
I started reading comics young, and I noticed a lot of them were by men. And I was like, okay. And then over time, I started to realize, wow, every single identity that I am, men don't write them very well. And every time I read a new comic, I would just be like, no. So, you know, went out and made our own stories instead.
So I was a little kid, and I remember my older cousin was like, you need to read comics. Comics are great. Comics represent everything. Comics are everywhere. If you want to be cool, you need to read comics. And he handed me, I don't even remember what it was. I remember looking at it and I'm like, wow, that's a really boobie picture on the cover. Okay. I'm 6 years old. Cool. And I opened it, and it's this kid. I really don't remember what it was. I wish I did, but this girl, and she's fighting people. I'm like, wow, she's fighting in a thong and heels. Realistic. I put that comic down and didn't pick up another one until I was 24. And then I found webcomics. Not like that. And it was great. It was lots of slice of life stuff, lots of diary comics. The first time I was like, oh, hey, this is me. This is actually representative of what I'm doing and what I like and what I experience. And that's really what brought me back.
You know, the funny thing is my experience is the same as Caitlin's, where I read a lot of shoujo and Japanese manga growing up, and I didn't get into American comics until later, because again, I didn't really see myself super reflected in them. But I had a weird experience, I don't know if you had this too, that like even reading shoujo comics, which are female-oriented comics, it was also a very narrow idea of what women are like and what they're interested in. It was very much this kind of, you know, Barbie-esque world of, like, we're into guys, and we're into insecurities, and things like that. And so even that world was very narrow. That was dictated by these female creators, predominantly out of Japan with that. So it feels like either way you went at the time, it wasn't that easy to find characters that you identified with or that you respected in any way. But I'm happy to say I think that's changing.
Would you guys say then, I feel like the advent of the internet and comics online is a big game changer when it comes to the types of media that we were exposed to in terms of comics, right? Like, that's like, you know, there's like a door opening event that happens there. Do you think there's like the impact of gender on your ability to read or like interpret comics changes at that point in time for everyone?
Or? Well, like, it totally leveled the playing field in terms of like who was allowed to make comics. You know, like, you could be totally anonymous and you could publish a comic on the internet, and as long as it was good, people would read it. There wasn't this whole, like, you didn't have to go through, like, an editor and a publisher and et cetera, et cetera. There was just, like, no boundary, so it just, like, opened it up to, like, the entire world.
And the opposite is true, because I feel it's definitely changing a lot now, but going to find comics, whether it's a comic store or even asking your friends what they were into, there was always like, well, that's not really a comic. Whether that was, well, manga isn't comics, or vice versa, where it's like, that genre you're into, that's not really a comic, or what do you mean you don't want to be superheroes? There's something else. Suddenly having the internet meant you could just like what you like, and it didn't matter, because you were all alone in your room in the dark.
Yeah, nobody could judge you. You're like sitting there unfans reading web comics. I think, I guess, the fact that this panel exists, which I'm so happy to be here. I hope you all are too. This kind of panel existing kind of, like, at least to me, is like, the jig is up, you know? Like, anyone else can make comics. It's not just men, and we're just going to keep being louder and louder about that. And so, like, until everyone realizes it, until there's more work out there.
Yeah,
Yeah, absolutely. The internet has definitely like leveled the playing field a lot, and it's given us access to a lot more types of creators in general, and even just income brackets. I think there was always a certain income bracket of people who could afford to be comic artists for whatever reason, but now, you know, with the advent of webcomics and whatnot, we're hearing voices not just from, you know, different sexual identities, but also from people of different kind of income brackets. I think that really leveled the playing field in a lot of different ways. It seems like everyone has access now, which is fantastic.
It's like not no longer, but it's less gatekeeped.
Yes, very much so. And I mean, you don't even need to necessarily have a publisher or anyone anymore. You can be in your basement and reach millions of viewers. I mean, that's both amazing and terribly frightening. So,
yeah. I'm also excited that there's viewpoints from identities we can't even imagine, right? Yeah. Because there's the gay identities, there's non-binary identities, but then there's also like, a low-income trans person from some country that might not have ever received a comic from and read about their life and their work and the food that they ate. And I just love that.
And those stories,
just white men's stories.
Exactly. And those stories that you're describing are so important, but they keep just getting pushed down by those white cis men stories. But luckily, as we're saying with the advent of the internet, there's more agency and there's more visibility for those stories to come to light.
Well, okay, I think we're going off topic now because we're not actually talking about men in comics. So, bring back around to the guys. As one former DC executive whose gender you can probably guess told me several years ago, Huntress is a complex character because she hates sex trafficking and loves ice cream. Power Girl has a running gag where her clothes get blown off, but it's not sexist or objectifying because we can all laugh about it. So, character development is really important, right? So I want to ask the panelists, like, what kinds of decisions do you make when you're writing and drawing male-identified people? What's your process there?
So, I mean, like, I feel like I'm uniquely qualified to write male characters because, I don't know, I'm wearing pants right now. I know what it's like to be a man. On a page, you know, they're not just like a buff, like, dude who can save the world, you know, they can also have emotion, you know, like, they can also, like, feel loss, and they can feel love, and they can, you know, like, they can be whole people, and I think that's really important. Not to just, like, focus on the body, and on the, you know, the, just their masculinity, that you have to realize that they're also people.
I feel like this is a really good point to like bring here to Yasmin's character Isaac, and you know, talking about like emotional levels. Like, how do you build emotional levels into, you know, male-identifying characters?
Sure. I've kind of noticed that comics written by men, there's like this formula. It's like body type times agency divided by gaze equals strong character. It's like some kind of formula I could never wrap my head around. So In my comic, I insert my experiences into a male character named Isaac, and everything that he goes through is pretty much what I went through. You know, abstracted a little bit, but in this avatar. And for me, that was integral, like absolutely integral for me to realize like my own gender identity. And so that was so important to me, and that helped me like write him as a person, like a vulnerable person, not like a cool, tough guy, and like when he's having breakdowns like I did. He's just being a human being, and I wish that the opposite were true, and that men, male-identifying writers, would look at their characters as like something to like insert themselves into, to learn something more about themselves, to like grow and learn with these characters, and not write them like a mannequin with a human face stapled to it. Just saying.
For myself, I kind of feel. Just with all the stuff that I've read up till now and the stuff that I've had the opportunity to write, it seems to me that a lot of male characters are as trapped in traditional roles as female characters have been. And in a sense, it's actually a little bit like less explored now. You know, we're on the advent of a world where we're talking about incels and toxic masculinity and all of these things. And part of that is because I feel like we're not talking about vulnerability with men, and we're not talking about social anxiety with men and what the modern masculine identity is. So I think for me, when I'm writing my male characters, I really like to think a lot about what their anxieties are as people. Because, you know, there's always this classic idea of, like, the lost boy, which is sort of, you know, it's your Don Draper, it's your, you know, Fight Club characters. It's the guy who has everything he wants but still doesn't quite fit in. And it's a very, very common narrative with men, you know. But the trouble with it is that it always shows the guy who has everything but doesn't fit, but never shows the fact that, you know, he still is really adhering to a lot of classic masculine roles. You know, he may have a woman in his life, and but he chooses that, you know, he's not with her, or he may be really great at his job, but his job's not satisfying. And yet we don't talk about, what about the, you know, male fears of not finding a partner, of not being good at your job? Those things are always relegated to comedy. And I think there's a disconnect there that we have an opportunity to address now.
And there's also, like, an intersection of culture and race there as well, like the idea of what is masculinity in certain cultures and the anxiety that comes with not living up to those things. In different cultures, like, not living up to their expectation of masculinity is, it can be devastating. And there's an intersection, there's an external narrative there that I wish we would see more of, because then we would normalize talking about those feelings.
My partner's a man, so I'm very good at writing men and drawing men. Men can be powerful and sexy at the same time. Something about when, so aside from that, I really do think a lot about the men in my life when I write male characters, because I'm so hyper aware of how I view the world and the problems I face as a woman, and what I have to earn to get, and what I have to do to get what I think I earned and I'm actually owed and stuff like that, versus how I see men going through their lives and how that comes out in writing. I feel like in a lot of stories that are centered around men's experiences, there's definitely the, like, oh, they have to earn the sword to kill the dragon, but then it's so much about the, like, you just walk into town and you suddenly, you just feel that you are worthy of trying to earn the sword. Whereas for women, because of the experiences we have in our daily lives, or even just the thought of, can I even go to that town to earn that sword? Like, can I even hold that sword? Is that even for me? And I always ask myself, like, if there's something a cis white man would do, I can do it. They apply for this? Yes, okay, I'm going to do it too. And I feel like it starts at a level where so many male characters don't even think at that. Like, they're not even represented at that level of insecurity, at that level of fear. It's something so basic, just waking up and going out into the world. And female characters are written in that way, when they're written by females, by women. But then when we see, I think it's so obvious when we see a woman character written by a male, because it's so much about things that just happen in their lives that they don't even have to think about, because it just happens in male lives.
All right, so what specific, if you guys are, like, constructing a male character, like, what, give me, like, five things that are really important to focus on. So we've got, like, an emotional background, that's, like, an important thing. A little bit of history, personal history. Like, what else?
I mean, I think it's really important to capture their ill lives, you know. Okay, so when I was writing the Manfred graphic novel, I had this debate with my editor, because he really wanted it to end as, like a romantic comedy, like, he wins the girl in the end, and I was like, no. I'm like, this guy, the main character of the book, Steve, who is the cat, he is a very broken person, and he doesn't know how to look after himself. And I mean, like, I wasn't like, as I was writing, I wasn't thinking like, oh, what is it like to be a man and, like, have these problems? I was like, no, I know what this is like. I lived like this, you know, like, everybody's been through this period in their life where they've, like, been kind of down in the dumps, and they're like, they're in that transitionary period in their life where they're, like, shedding old friends and, like, what, like, finding themselves. And I was like, he can't just, like, get a girlfriend and then all of his problems are solved. Like, that's not how that works. Like, he needs to, like, become a full person. And, yeah, and I was mostly just writing about that from, like, my own experiences and not just... So, like, he's basically just an extension of me, but as a male character.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's how I feel too. It's like, we'll just write them as a human, and the rest will follow. But, like, the idea of, like, oh, I'm just getting everything that I want, it, like, stories like that just normalize that kind of behavior in real life, and it's like a vicious cycle. We need to break that. And so just by writing someone as a human, and writing them with your same insecurities and your same anxieties, and I've also noticed a pattern. Everyone's an individual, not everyone does this, but I've noticed that there's a pattern of people, writers, comic artists who aren't men, whatever role that they're writing, I see a pattern of like more consideration and like more respect, because I think a lot of identities are so used to being oppressed, like whether it's by narratives or whatever the hell, that like you know what it's like you were saying. So it's like we put a lot of effort into making sure that like that respect is there for no matter who we're writing. Again, it's an individual, but it's a pattern I've noticed.
Beard, flannel. I like a good open V-neck so I can see that chest. High jeans.
Is that character development?
How will we know what they're like if we can't tell?
But if you can't see the window.
Exactly.
Barrier to our soul.
How will we know who they are as a person if you can't see their abs?
And I think that we were saying that male characters sometimes suffer from the same, you know, issues that female characters do, that there's, like, you know, certain aspects of masculinity that are, like, heightened and intensified, particularly in, like, you know, super popular American genres. Like, what should we be trying to do? Is there a positive step forward in this way to, like, create better male characters?
I like them when they're soft and round.
I noticed in particular with my character who is male, I didn't even really think about this when I was drawing him. I was just like, oh, like, he has a lot of body hair. He's Arab American like me, and his body type is he has a lot of body hair. And I would draw, you know, when he has his shirt off, when his arms are exposed, he has a lot of body hair. And I've had multiple times men tell me that really stuck out to me, because I never really see just like a body of a man who just has body hair, and it's just put out there, and there's no attention brought to it, no one makes fun of him for it, it's just part of his body, and it's normalized. And that really stuck out to me, because I never really thought about it that way. I was just like, I'm just going to draw body hair on this guy, because he has it. So
I think for me, when I was, I've often been fortunately credited with drawing, you know, very sensual and attractive women, but a lot of people had never seen my depictions of men until my comic. And I distinctly remember when my comic first started coming out, I was in a studio of all wonderful guys, and there was like a low-key discomfort with how sexy they were, because there was this idea everybody loved, that, you know, my women were, you know, bodacious and vivacious, but the idea that the guys looked like they were coming off of a runway, it literally made people kind of uncomfortable, because if it's not the Superman physique, if it's not the classic male idealized physique that, you know, the bodybuilder or what have you, if we're starting to get into what, for example, some men and women find sexy in men, people start to get uncomfortable. There's very much this, and I don't want to use this kind of language, but there's very much this idea that there's a sort of gay way for a man to look, and I don't like that kind of language at all, but it's this, it's terribly unfortunate that we aren't exploring these different types of, you know, body types and how they're represented and how they're meant to look attractive to us. So yeah, that's something I got a lot of pushback on, that the fact that my men looked really sexy.
I love the, I don't know if you saw, it was going around Twitter like a couple of years ago, it was like this version of Batman, like, drawn by a woman as what she would think Batman would look like if he was really sexy. And he was like, lean, and he had like big eyes, and he looked kind of
that's
very
what I'm
anime-ish,
talking about.
And people were uncomfortable with it, like, because Batman is like, he's like big and buff, and like, he's strong, but it's like, no, that's Batman when it's drawn by a man, like, this is what men want to look like. But when you're talking about like the female gaze, like what women want to see, it's very different.
It's incredibly different. And just picking up on that further, I had an assignment not too long ago where I had to draw a classic male superhero, and I think I went through more edits on that cover than I did on any cover that I'd done before, because he was never thick enough. Like, his neck was never thick enough, his shoulders were never broad enough. And I remember one of the emails I got towards the end was, You just don't get it. It was needless to say, we did not have further projects together. But
I thought it was the V. Is that what it was?
You don't get
the
V. I don't know. Were his lips too pouty? Maybe I made it too pouty. I don't know. But I think that's actually terribly sad, because men can be attracted. attractive in so many amazing ways. It doesn't just have to be the bodybuilder physique. I, for one, think that this needs to be addressed.
Also, it's interesting to go into ideas of what represents power as well, because so many men will draw, you know, that classic buff, strong man, because Superman's supposed to be strong, Batman's supposed to be physically imposing, but when you see these characters drawn by women, it's not always power and strength in physical, it's also like the gaze, right, the jawline, the moodiness of the piece, of how they speak, some, because power can come across in so many different ways, and I feel that women are so familiar with what that means to have that power towards them, that when we think of what makes a character powerful, a tall but lean person is still powerful based on how they talk or how they dress or how they look at you across the room, right, versus just the people. And I think it's important that we do have a variety of male bodies because that exists in real life. I've seen those male bodies.
Yeah, one of the most frequent compliments I get for Manfred is that people love that he's just so soft and round, and that's so much credit to Kelly. Like, I don't know if you've seen any more of her artwork where she draws like different shaped bodies, but it's like I think people really want to see that. They want to see themselves represented. Like, they want to see like somebody who's like really soft and cute, and not just like big and strong and angular.
I feel like this is sort of like leaning in towards now about the idea of like storytelling within that. So we've got like, you know, this notion that we should be developing like more styles of male physical form to work with in comics. What about more storylines? So we mentioned the hero's journey style thing, like Voyage of Discovery. Are there, you know, are there other particular genres of comics that, or storytelling, sorry, that we should be looking at when it comes to telling male stories better?
I think isolation is one. Mm-hmm. I think this is really relevant to all of us today, not just men, but social isolation and the feeling that you can't connect with the people around you, and not in the romanticized, cool, you know, again, Fight Club kind of way. Real, true, like, isolation and, you know, for both men and women, but especially for men as well. That's a narrative I'd like to see a little bit more, and how it's affected by modern culture, whether it's from social media or what else have you, but that's something I'd love to see.
I'm really, really tired of, like, the classic, like, male redemption arc sort of thing, and I would really love to see that kind of explored in a different way, where their redemption isn't so complete, and, like, there's more to there than just than, like, man grits his teeth and punches somebody, and then all of a sudden, he's a better person.
I'd like to see male villains who are sympathetic without being forgivable. Because I feel like that's a huge, huge difference between the two. When you have someone who is obviously evil, obviously terrible, and make them a sympathetic character where you're like, okay, I understand what made you so bad. I understand the journey you went through to become an evil person, but I still don't forgive you. That doesn't make you a good person. That doesn't make you worthy of attention or love or really any space at all. But it does make you worthy of understanding because you're still a human being, even though you're terrible. But just not be forgivable. I feel like that's such a, like, it's part of the redemption story. It's like, no matter how bad you are, if you go through enough pain and hardship, suddenly it's okay that you did all this terrible stuff.
Yeah.
I also want to jump off that. I would like to see the understandable but not necessarily forgivable villain that's male, that's not gay. Because queer men and any queer identity in mass media is so villainized. So I would like to, like, tack that on as well.
Interesting points. Well, how, in terms of developing, like, notions of masculinity through, like, being a female or non-male identifying person, like, do you guys see it as like a, like, are we stepping over some kind of line? Like, should we be going into this territory? Should we be creating male characters at all?
I mean, something that I've been, like, struggling with lately is that, like, I'm so bored of reading stories about men. That being said, my first book is about men. Something to read, I'm like, you know, like going through like Audible or whatever, looking for audiobooks. It's like, a man does this, a man does that, men do this. I'm like, oh my god, like, enough already. So, like, that being said, I don't think that it's like that we shouldn't be allowed to write stories about men, or that we should stop clearly like the right of people, like women and non-male identifying people, like writing about men, it adds this whole other level of perspective that maybe like we weren't seeing so much of before.
I don't think there's enough men. I would like to see more stories about men. I want to see more stories about trans men. I want to see more stories by trans men and by women. And I think this kind of jumps off this other conversation where women and non-binary folks, we do so much research when we need to write about men and want to write about them and want to represent them well. And I think it needs to be more than just, you know, that cis white perspective, that cis white, very hetero perspective. It's like, I want to hear more stories about soft, gentle, sensitive, vulnerable, lonely, frightened men. With or without that beat, it's okay. Just, they don't have to have that.
I don't know, I feel like when I'm writing men, I'm a little nervous about it at times. It's a sense of, I want to be true to the experience of the person I'm writing about, and I do like to channel my own perspective, and you know, I want to explore vulnerability, I want to explore social anxiety, I want to explore not fitting in these male characters, but at the same time, I don't want to step over the hardships, and I write an era comic. My comic is you know, 1,000 years ago, so it's a little bit of a different vibe, but I do want to write, you know, recognizing that there is a role that a lot of men are trying to reach, a certain type of person they think they're supposed to be, and what it's like to be living in the shadow of that perfect male role. So when I'm having to write those kinds of experiences, that's where I get a little bit nervous at times, and I'm like, am I being true to this? I haven't really been through the experience of, for example, living under this grand, harsh father and trying to live up to him and his, you know, particular ideals. Again, it's a bit set to my own comic world, and that's what I find difficult, is just being true to that part of the male experience. I don't want to step over that as a creator. I don't want to ignore it.
I think in general there's just, and this is different for everybody, but I think there's a general threshold of respect for whatever identity that you are writing, even if it is your own. I think there's a general threshold of respect, and that's all we ask for from men. Don't really get it, but that's, I think, kind of where we're going with this. It's like, you just have to do the best you can to respect the identity.
All right, well, I'd like to open up for questions now. Does anyone have any questions for our panel on men in comics? Yes, Mr. Man right here.
A lot of you have spoken about how you like to draw men and find sexy, and I was wondering if, do you worry about
I'd like to just repeat that for everyone. Are we objectifying men if we make them sexy in our comics?
No.
No.
The severe lack of like super sexy men, that we're doing a service in general. But all joking aside, I think it is something to be aware of, I suppose. I can't say I see myself not drawing sexy men in the future. But that being said, I also draw a lot of different male body types, not just really hot dudes.
It's important to draw all types of bodies, and I think my face said the rest of my answer.
And I mean, to be fair, like, I actually like really love looking at the ways that women draw sexy men, because it's always so different. Like, you always get a different body type as well. Like, and it just goes to show that, like, you know, like, I feel like women are a lot less ashamed to admit what they like about guys, whereas, like, I don't know, like, I mean, obviously I can't speak for all men, but I feel like there's, like, definitely, like, these, like, things that are focused on when women get objectified, such as, you know, like, big breasts and et cetera, et cetera. But, like, a lot of the time when you see, like, pinups of men, they're not all the same. They don't all have the same features. And, it's, like, it's kind of up to the individual to find what they like.
So sexy is okay if it's your particular kind.
Any other questions? Lady person. in Maggie Garcia themselves.
Can you repeat the entire question?
How men see the world in different ways, and that's affected by power dynamics.
You guys have mentioned before, like, trying to accurately portray the way that, you know, like, men see themselves in the world around them. But as people who may not, like, identify with, like, the cis-male, you know, perspective, we are a lot more aware of the power dynamics that, like, kind of, for, like, kind of, like, surround everything that they
can. Yeah, our understanding of power dynamics is different from men. You guys get that, right?
Yes.
When we're writing male characters, you don't see the power dynamics, obvious.
There's not always a way to escape the structure that you're a part of, but I write male characters that I want to see in the world, and those male characters aren't necessarily letting their gaze run their life. If that helps to answer the question.
I want to jump in on that and say that I'm okay with not accurately representing a male experience sometimes, if that experience is very much rooted in that power dynamic, in the way that in some works that you'll see sometimes when it's, like, you'll see women characters written where they're very much ideal. It's like, this is how you should react. And yes, you can have feelings. Yes, you can be angry, but be the bigger person and react in this way. Forgive, make space. That's not always accurate to the real experience that women face, and I think vice versa. I'm okay with not writing the way a man would react to a situation. I'm okay with writing them in the way that they should react.
Yeah, I think normalizing the idea that it doesn't always have to be like that is really important.
I think for me it comes down to actually a little bit of the world building as well. Like, is this the type of world where a person would be challenged for their privilege? In my world, not so, because again, it's set, you know, some thousand years ago. But I do try to take opportunities to challenge the male characters and their privilege at times when it's appropriate, because it's the kind of character who's going to be able to reflect on that. But in other situations, it's not necessarily, it wouldn't necessarily always make sense. So yeah, I think it depends a lot on the world you created and how much being aware of privilege and whatnot plays a role in that world.
So many questions here. Front row.
So I'm a trans woman, so I actually have lived experience as a guy, but here's the problem. I have a lot of negative associations with that. So when I try to create male characters, I'm often like worried that, you know, since all this internalized hatred I have, and I'm worried about overcompensating and making them too perfect. So, any suggestions?
I think looking at men in your life is a great start, because, you know, very often we have, you know, fathers or uncles or brothers who sometimes have opinions we don't necessarily that don't necessarily jive with us, as we discover on dates like Thanksgiving and whatnot. But at the same time, if it's a person you care about, you find a way to love them despite that, and I think that's a good place to start with your own personal character. Recognizing, I think this is a challenge in writing in general, is to have an imperfect character, sometimes wildly imperfect, and find a way to love them and make them sympathetic. It's a challenge, I think, for all writers.
I would say staying true to your experience and examining it will bring about the best way for you to write that character. And no one can really tell you how to do it, because that's your experience. But I think if you just examine where these feelings are coming from, you'll be able to break down why a certain character would be the way that you write them.
All right. One more question. Okay, you. Yeah.
I was really interested in talking a little bit more about how male villains are portrayed as queer a lot of the time. I know that I feel like I played a game of like when
evil but not gay men.
Right.
His scar.
I mean, that's really harsh.
Every single word.
It's a panel, you guys.
I really think that we should need to look at the world around us and see about the people in real life who are actually evil, are very much straight white men.
Right, so draw from reality. I've got a bit more time. One question.
So I know that in a lot of what we've been talking about is just from the male perspective, but also going back to like male, female, or non-male interactions. Like I know online there's a lot of femsplaining going on. How do you make sure that when your female characters or non-male characters interact with your male characters, they're not trying to femsplain the situation?
It's so hard. My men characters don't always know everything. They need to be explained.
You don't expect men to know everything, sorry.
Yeah. And we were talking about them being oblivious earlier, so...
good question. I guess my answer would be that I am not interested in writing male characters that, like, the opposite of that dynamic applies to, that need to be femsplained to good term. I'm not interested in writing that kind of person. You know, obviously not everyone knows everything, but I try to write my male characters with a decent amount of threshold of understanding and respect that doesn't need to happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Good storytelling.
So I work in a comic book shop, and many of the times when I'm sorting back issues, we see a lot of different male bodies that are disproportionate or in action poses that are not realistic for them or their bodies, and I think we need to address this in how we set up unrealistic expectations for men in how they're meant to be.
Why is it so?
Agree. Agree as well.
We need to look at men more and draw them like.
Live drawing classes are very important to know. All right, well, that's it. Everyone, thank you so much for our panel.